Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information on the news and links to the topics that we discuss in the show, go to our website at geeksone.com. Welcome, everybody.
So I say I don't take my clothes off for anyone, artistic or no?
Are we rolling? Welcome to Geeks On.
Welcome back, rolling. Kiddies!
Yeah, I don't think you should, because that would be...
A crime against humanity?
No,
just this ethically wrong. Oh.
This is a very special...
Moral issue. Sorry, Aaron.
This is a very special
don't
Geeks On.
Don't let him talk over. Go on. He can edit you out.
This is a very special Geeks On, the Star Trek Death Special.
Oh, that's right. It's coming to an end, isn't it?
Next week is our last episodes of Star Trek, maybe forever.
No more Jolene Blaylock boobs.
No. No more decontamination chambers.
No more decontamination chambers.
Oh. Where else can you get that, though?
No more engage.
Where do we turn now for
decontamination
chambers?
There's no decontamination chambers on Lost yet.
No.
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 Not on Lost.
That's actually a fatal failing of the show.
I think.
Well,
oh my God.
We're a little down.
We have to wait several years to get it back.
Yeah.
So.
But how was your Geek Week otherwise?
Yeah. I didn't have a Geek Week.
Oh.
I had to play adult. In fact, it's shocking that we're actually doing this show this
week. Oh, really?
No.
I actually had an awesome Geek Week because it was my birthday. And two, I had an audition for Family Guy.
Oh. Excellent!
And I rocked that mother out. I think I'm going to be on the show.
Yay!
So that will be very, very cool.
Brilliant.
If I end up on Family Guy.
Very cool.
We'll see.
Your guys' Geek Week?
Well, it's good. It's good.
Everybody's so somber. I mean, it's just...
It's a death of 15 years of serial episodic stuff.
Serial episodic stuff.
Not really sure what to say about that.
One of the longest shows at this point. I mean,
I know it's been like, I mean, I don't know how many years running. When did Next Generation start back up?
That was.
I mean, it's been like 50. It's been like 20 something years, right?
Yeah, Next Gen started what?
Couldn't be 20 something.
Oh, 15.
Years.
No, yeah, it was like when I was in.
Figure mid 80s when it started.
No, okay. Star Trek Next Gen had to start in 87. No, 88.
Okay, almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because that's when it was.
I think Doctor Who is probably the only... It is actually the longest show. It's like 30 years that Doctor Who...
Yeah, those are crazy Brits. They don't count.
They'll watch anything.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we start
we
with some news?
17 listeners.
Let's
right
do
there.
It.
Bring some news in here?
Let's bring some news in here.
All right, who's going to open up? Me? Anyone? Bueller?
You.
Okay. Just want to let you know, Amal Durai hopes that you enjoyed the party that he's throwing this weekend. Durai is a student at MIT, and he's hosting a time traveler convention on campus this Saturday, today. So if you are a time traveler and you are traveling through time, nice, Peter. So if you are traveling through time and... you know, you need a place to stop off, get some chips and dip. He's just looking for proof and hopes that you stop on by.
The great thing about this is time travelers have known about this for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
This party has just been a constant,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I hear that they go back to this thing every couple days.
Yeah, and he basically said that if MIT did not exist in your quantum time frame, he left the coordinates. Just so you could show up, even if it, you know, allows you to pass through his quantum time frame.
And how did he leave it? Like, where did he send the address?
Over the internet, pretty much.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because that crosses some type of quantum time dimensional rift?
Well, with all the different people reading it who are passing, you know, each day.
Through the grapevine.
Through the grapevine.
Dimensional grapevine.
Exactly.
Interesting. He encourages people to bring something to prove that they're actually time travelers.
Yeah.
So things like cure for AIDS, cancer, you know, solution for global poverty, fusion reactor, you know, those things.
What about future baseball scores or something a little bit simpler?
He said if you're from the near future, you can bring stock tips.
Stock tips are good.
Well, tomorrow's cool. Lottery numbers.
Yeah.
Fine with me.
How about a three-eyed fish? You know, like, because the...
That could just mean you work for The Simpsons.
True.
You know?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not the same.
All right, Don, how about you?
Well, for those of you who already are crushed by the grief of the Star Trek franchise and don't think you can take the loss of another one of your beloved franchises, such as, say, the Spider-Man movies...
I can't stand it!
I know it's coming soon, but... Take heart, Sam Raimi has announced that Sony Pictures has plans to make a total of 6 Spider-Man movies in the trilogy.
What?
All with Sam Raimi?
Sam Raimi has said that he, at this point, does plan to helm all 6 of the movies.
Yeah, okay. Right.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
If he sticks with it, I will keep going to watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
They're all going to turn out like Darkman 2.
Or, you know, I mean, the second one was better than the first. What if the third one is? What if they just keep getting better?
I want to know who's writing them.
Actually, okay,
what's more important to me.
True. I think the guys that write the showrunners for Smallville wrote the second one.
So, I don't think so. I think it was the same guy who wrote the X-Men movies.
Is it
really?
I can't remember his name.
We're gonna have to look it up.
Not Aaron.
Why don't we just do a shout out to our peeps?
Wait, isn't the guy who wrote the X-Men movies the voice of Solid Snake?
I have absolutely no idea.
I think
he is. I think the guy who wrote the X-Men movies is the voice of Solid Snake. I had no idea.
Yeah, that was random Metal trivia Gear. That came up some party. I don't remember. Alcoholic haze.
Well, maybe we should look that up.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting. 6.
Hope for the Spider-Man fans. A 6-part trilogy.
Are there enough villains?
Yeah, there's enough villains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we still got Lizard to go through. We still got Mole Man.
Spider-Man's around for 50 years.
Sandman would be like Sandman and Hydra-Man now.
I think Sandman might be the next.
Yeah, actually, together they form Mudman.
Actually, that's how he constantly beat them up in every single comic. They both seem to show up at the same time, and they kept making Cement Man.
They need to have him fight that black suit of his at some point.
What, Venom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Venom's great, yeah.
Well, apparently in the next one they have Thomas Hayden Church as the villain. He ain't Venom. I don't think he's Venom.
Could it be Carnage?
I was actually thinking maybe Mystero. Mystero?
Oh, Mystero? With the big...
big fishbowl head.
Yeah, the big fishbowl head.
Oh, yeah. Wait, is that the guy who's in the... different franchise. Who's the fishbowl head in the Super Friends?
The fishbowl
head?
He
fought Aquaman.
Right.
Black Manta.
Part of the Legion of Doom.
He was cool looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was no Mystero, though.
Sort of way.
Okay. Well, I have one, and I'm curious about your guys' opinion who do massively multiplayer online. But Sony Online has announced that for EverQuest 2, they're starting a website where you can buy and sell your items and money for real money now.
Please,
you've heard this. It's all over.
Well,
anyway.
It's already been doing it on
eBay.
World of Warcraft and eBay
it's
and everything like that.
In fact,
but they kick you off if you do it on World of Warcraft.
Well, it doesn't stop anybody.
Right.
I mean, it's all over the place. So Sony decided, well, you know what? Why don't we just make it official? And now it's certain servers.
Interesting.
It's server specific. And so they're saying, you know, hey, if people
How are
do
they
going
to maintain that?
This still smacks of desperation to me.
Yeah.
Like EverQuest is desperate to get new people on there right now.
Please
play our game, please.
Really?
They're getting the crap kicked out of them by World of Warcraft.
Hmm.
And well, after, I mean, you have to keep in mind the investment into any MMORPG is years and years and years of development.
Right.
You know, and the amount of money that must have gotten sunk into Evercrack, I can't even begin to imagine.
Now, you guys don't
How
like
often
this.
Do you really get to say that sentence? What? The amount of money that gets sucked into Evercrack. Just sounds nasty.
Look where I work. I can just say that every 15
minutes. Do you guys have a negative reaction to people who buy, like, who said, you know what, I need to just buy some gold because I just can't play this enough? Is that
I don't care. I don't care. I mean,
Yeah, I mean,
you know, but people who's getting offended is people who play the game all the time.
Yeah,
you know, they're like, I've been working my ass off, and you just went out and bought it. You know,
but they can't just have fun, even though somebody across the island is having just as much fun.
Yeah, no, I don't care. I just don't understand. It's just going to be guys.
It's the whole one-upsmanship thing.
Yeah, some people define themselves based on the game, and those people are going to feel a little threatened.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we should do a show on all the people who lose their husbands and wives to EverQuest and stuff like that.
I have a guess for that. I have a guess for that.
I do too. I have a. Yeah, we got to bring them up.
EverQuest widow?
Wow.
Yeah.
No, no. I mean, somebody actually lost their spouse to someone else over EverQuest.
Yeah, me too.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Me three. So.
Wow, three out of four of us have that and have someone. Wow.
That's crazy.
See, I'm just working towards being one of those people.
All right, Peter, what about you?
All right, I have Florida sets harsher penalties for molesters.
Who do?
Florida.
Okay.
Now
okay.
What they're going to do is they're going to track molesters with GPS so they know where they are at all times. Now, here's the thing. I don't really have a problem with it because it's molesters per se, but I don't really like the precedent it sets. You know,
right.
You know, tracking people with GPS satellite, knowing where
I thought
they are
already did track people with GPS satellite with the anklet and stuff like that.
That's for house arrest. It's specific to house arrest. Yeah. I don't think that's satellite.
This is actually what this is that if you have been accused, I mean, this is why I don't have a problem with it. If you've been accused of molesting someone under 12, mm-hmm. they'll track you for the rest of your life.
That's right. Fine by
and
me.
I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah. You know? What do you? I mean, but are you talking like Jennifer Connelly in Labyrinth, kind of young, or?
Yeah. Exactly. No, under 12. Boy. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Something I'm never gonna quite live down.
I'm just bringing up some old stuff.
Some old stuff. Uh-oh. All right.
Well, you know, but I dig what you're saying. I mean, yeah, they're child molesters. I mean, no one's going to jump to their defense.
Right.
But the precedent it establishes, you know, who's next? You know?
Well, right. Yeah, but wait. We lock certain people up behind bars, and that's a slippery slope, too. And are we going to lock everybody up in bars?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Some people get locked up in small rooms for the rest of their lives, and some people get a chip put in their head.
No, once the president gets said, it gets nasty. Like New York, for example, during the Republican convention, they locked up thousands of people.
Yeah.
And for literally no reason.
Yeah. Okay.
And,
well,
no, to the point
so
where
we should get rid of the jail cells?
No, but I'm saying the precedent's been set, and nobody's gone out and said this was a bad thing.
Right.
There's very, very little attention is being paid to it. Mm. So the precedent has been set. Next time, say Houston has some problem with some people protesting something that their mayor think is good for their city.
Well, that's
they can throw them in jail.
I have an infinitesimal problem with the precedent, but I have a real big problem with child molesters, and I have a very medieval attitude.
Right. Geeks on is, you know, we're really pushing the limit here by saying we are against child molestation.
No.
We're cutting edge.
You know, I believe we should all fall off something high.
Related subject is I think it's maybe it's Kansas. Anyway, they're trying to pass a law where child molesters have to have a certain color license plate.
Yeah, pink license plate.
Pink license plate.
And what? Why pink?
I don't know. Just to mark them.
I think it's a slam against the gay community to try and associate them with child molesters. But that's just me.
Well, that's a stretch. But, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people there were saying, well, listen, I'm all fine marking somebody who might be potentially dangerous, but road rage, like to have people identify someone on the road, is just a bad idea.
In Kansas,
I don't
with
think
a
it's
gun rack,
to literally tattoo them like that, because you know, you will not be able to restart your life. Say you actually have reformed, you know, something has happened in you that you have managed to overcome this. You are spending your entire fiber of your being not being a child molester anymore. But you got to walk around with it on your forehead for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think actually we should brand it to
getting
the
getting a job. And
all right. Well, I don't know if this is.
The other question that brings up is, what if you're someone who, like for example, gets accused of molesting someone who is 17, you know, and it was consensual, but you still get this license plate? I mean, that's a little disturbing.
There's always the edge where
you're
like
the 18-year-old guy sleeping with your 17-year-old girlfriend. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, sorry, Matt.
What? Did you jump on me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, all I got to say is school mistakes huge burrito for a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
I saw this.
You heard about this? All right.
Yes.
Clovis, New Mexico, they called about a weapon. in the school because the kid brought
not a weapon. They thought it was a bomb.
They thought it was a bomb
because it was a bomb.
It was wrapped It was wrapped in tinfoil and then inside his shirt. So they saw it. They didn't know whether it was a rifle or a bomb at first.
Right.
And then he brought it into school and they're doing an announcement all over the school and the young kid sits there and he goes, "Wait a second. I think they're talking about my burrito." And so, you know, everybody's calling their parents. The parents show up, and they're all freaking out. And there's a radio report, and they're locking down the school.
They checked his wallet. He had $2 bills.
Getting all freaking
reference out. To a old yeah. episode.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, you know, what can you do?
Wow. So Russell figured it out, and he went and showed him that he had a gigantic 30-inch burrito. Which was basically there because he
was rude.
I know. They were basically doing a class exercise, and he had to bring it in for class.
They were designing products or something.
Yeah, they were designing products for special interest businesses.
Yeah.
So he was extra large food guy.
All right, Don. You have any anything that could top large burrito?
Well, just the Bollywood community gave out their version of the Oscars this week.
Oh, cool.
Any sci-fi Bollywood movies? I would love to see that.
That would be fun, wouldn't
it? That would be cool. Like everybody...
A Bollywood take on Star Wars.
You know? Like breaking into it in the middle of it.
I just want to see Vader dancing.
Yeah. Wait, I think there is something on the wing. Go look at it. It is something on the wing out there. Out there! Not quite.
I can't shake them. Stay on
shake
target.
Them, shake
Stay
them.
On target.
You're the cocky kid.
Cocky.
Let's do a Vader. Let's think of a Vader quote. What's a good Vader quote?
You know? I find you like a faith disturbing.
I find you like a faith disturbing.
No, do it with
a
Vader.
I find you like a faith disturbing.
Can you do it with a Vader voice and the accent?
I find you like a faith disturbing.
There you go. That's better.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Goodbye. Anyway, at the Bollywood, they,
after alienating a quarter of our audience.
Moving on. they awarded the, International Star of the Year Award to David Hasselhoff.
Why?
I'm not entirely clear why.
Hurt me?
What has he done recently?
You know, I'm not really sure.
He's been singing opera in
Aside
Germany.
Aside from doing a cameo on Dodgeball, I've got no idea. But, you know, Bollywood and David Hasselhoff in one story. I had to bring it, you know. I had no choice in the matter.
Wow.
Well, in honor of Star Trek, I did want to bring up something that's happening here in L.A., but I noticed it's happening around, so I'm bringing all over the United States and maybe around the world. There are last episode viewings happening all over the city, one of which is happening by one of the guys who does those fan movies,
mm-hmm.
New Voyages.
Mm-hmm.
So down near our airport, they're having one. You pay, you know, like $15, and you get food and drinks, and everyone's going to watch the show
is
together.
Is that those guys, the New Voyages people?
I think so.
We should totally go to that.
You
okay.
Know, May 13th. That's coming up Friday. Well, I'd like to.
We should totally go.
I could stop by and call in from there if you can be around to record some of it.
We'll try to figure out a way.
We haven't been able to go mobile yet.
Your iPod. Just bring the iPod down. And
yeah, it sounds like ass.
I know, but you know, it's
who's
a
ass
live
though?
On. Just a little tiny segment.
We'll have to watch some of their work before we go, though.
Okay.
I've only seen like one part of one episode.
Yeah. Well, we can at least find a fan and have them, you know,
yeah,
talk
totally.
To them about the last episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, but the reason why I bring it up is check around your town. If you want to go, you know, find some kindred spirits, check on the internet, find your town that it's happening all over the United States.
That's cool.
Excellent.
The island of Dr. Moreau is here.
Oh, it is?
Yes. They're doing
a little freaky, like, shriveled guy.
Don't tell me it's a musical.
No. Actually, in real life, the island of Dr. Moreau, the science of that is here. They're making animals with human body parts in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they've
been doing that.
Yeah.
Tomatoes. Didn't they make a mouse with an ear?
I have no idea.
No, but they're talking. No, I'm serious. Like actual like liver, human livers.
Human now. Livers inside inside you know, you'll have human livers inside a sheep, or you know, a human heart inside of a pig.
It can't be good for them.
It can't be good for them at all. But
well, it's not good for us, because one of the major potential problems is that an animal disease that we can't catch might mutate and able to live in a cell.
Because of that.
And if that happens, then it might become airborne, and suddenly we can catch all sorts of diseases that animals currently are the only ones to get.
Every single time this happens, I always go, all right, time to go back to Victorian age. Yeah. You know, right after penicillin was discovered, time to go back there and just chill out for a while.
I think there's actually something quite good about this, which is, you know, I mean, there are people who can't get kidneys, who can't get, you know, if there's a way to create an animal.
Boy.
And I'm not saying, you know, there's a way to create an animal that all their organs are compatible with us. I mean, that would be
the harvest beast, and we just grow it in a tank, and then
pretty much, yeah.
How is that different from eating it?
Yeah.
So that's actually the first thing that crossed my mind was like, what if, you know, the calf with the human's liver gets mixed in with the food supply calves?
Well, yeah.
Your liver's made of people.
Exactly.
People.
But it says here that
veal really is murder. You know.
Yes, exactly. You know, God, that is really creepy, isn't
it?
Well,
you know, they keep track of how many human cells are actually in the body, because they're not entirely full human.
No, not yet.
Yeah. Not yet. So they actually keep a count of how many human cells, because they have to constantly defend themselves against reactionaries, and so they say, well, you know, our percentage is only, you know, 1/100th of a percent.
1/10th
or
less,
They do cell counts to make sure that it doesn't hit a certain level, because at a certain point, someone's going to say, listen, in my opinion, he's too human to be, to not have rights.
Yeah, to be experimented on.
Human.
Oh, yeah. It's Animal Farm, man. George Orwell spinning in his grave.
Well, let me just throw up one thing. Let me just throw up a couple things that I read. It says that scientists have already created pigs with human blood. Mm-hmm. They've fused rabbit eggs with human DNA, and they've injected human stem cells to make paralyzed mice walk.
Wow. Have you guys played the Final Fantasy and saw those like sexy rabbit chicks? Maybe that was part of the crossbreeding.
I was like, just thinking it sounded like they had a group of vampires who were funding all the research, and they were trying to find alternative ways of allowing the vampires to survive.
Yeah, me too.
Do you feel like pork or people tonight?
I don't know.
Long pig or just plain pig?
Let's just go to Denny's. All right.
They don't serve vampires.
Moving on.
And so now, our first reading from Don Marshall.
Don's going to be doing the reading, and I'll be translating for him.
Because what some of you out there may not know, I am actually an accomplished Klingon scholar. And I have done my research, and I have brought you a Klingon poem this day by the world-renowned and extremely respected, I believe, American Klingon poet, David E. Howerton, excuse me. The name of this piece translated is Look at the Emptiness, an appropriate piece as we say goodbye to our beloved Star Trek.
There's Team Bach.
A piece of my soul.
Come on,
goes into every line.
Oh, please.
A blank page.
Ah, not.
I see and need to fill with emotion and image, myth and legend, every word mixed with the blood of brow and the tears of sorrow and happiness. Trees and wind speak to me. Machines also. Even stars and unborn shapes. Future legends.
Nice, Don.
My pleasure.
My pleasure. Very wonderful.
Mukhta.
Before we move on, the first thing I have to do is really test the waters of your geekdom.
Oh, no.
Star Trek geekdom.
Oh, God, no.
So I did a quick Star Trek quiz. Don?
Yes.
What was the title of the pilot episode of the original Star Trek series?
Oh, for God's sakes, man.
The Menagerie?
On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Do you know?
No, I have no idea.
No idea.
The Cage.
Which Oh, right.
Jesus. I thought it was The Menagerie.
Well, no, The Menagerie is the versions they made, I think, based off of The Cage.
I know a lot of Next Generation and a lot of Deep Space.
All right, well then,
Space.
Matt.
Yes?
What was the name of Picard's character he liked to play in the holodeck?
Picard's character he liked to play on the holodeck.
Oh, my Lord.
Wait, Picard's character.
I didn't know we had to study.
That he'd like to play on
you
the holodeck.
You don't. You just have to be a Star Trek nerd. Apparently, not enough.
He was an archaeologist.
No.
No. What? What is it?
Dixon Hill, the private eye.
Oh, right. Damn it. And he'd always have Beverly Crusher come over.
Who knows anything about Deep Space Nine?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How did Sisko's wife die?
In a fire.
Yeah, a Borg attack.
Yeah.
Very good. Do you know the name of the attack?
Attack of the Borgs.
It was when Picard did the whole turnaround and
God, what was that called?
I don't know.
Damn it. I actually
Oh,
noticed.
We're failing.
Ah!
This is pathetic.
I mean,
Wolf 359.
No, I did not know that.
Okay. I had no idea that wasn't
How
even...
about this one then? What's Dax's nickname for Sisko?
Old man.
Oh, the first one. Very good.
Yeah.
Who was the leader of the Maquis ship and that Voyager captured?
What's his nuts with the tattoo in his face?
Yes. Do you know what's his
really
nuts?
I hated Voyager.
Guy.
I
really
hated Voyager.
Guy. Chakotay.
Yes.
Chakotay. Okay, Don and I are of one
mind
with this.
School. Who was the captain of the USS Enterprise in CC-1701 before Kirk?
Oh, right. That was in the first episode. He had blue eyes, black hair. He looked like Peter.
Do you guys even know his middle name, Kirk's middle name?
Tichondrius.
No, I'm done. I don't know.
Tiberius.
Tiberius.
Yes, Tiberius. Okay.
Tichondrius would be my world of
what actor in Star Trek, the original series, lost his right middle finger during World War II?
No idea.
You should know that. He's the only one with a missing finger.
In which series?
The original.
Original.
I don't know original worth a damn, man.
I didn't know any of them were missing a finger.
Yeah,
wow,
Scotty.
Amazing.
Scotty doesn't have a finger.
Really?
Oh.
How did I watch that for him? Wait, did anybody
because
else
they have
know
a
that?
Hand maul every time he beams somebody up.
Really?
Yep. In which series did writer Larry Nevin introduce the cat-like alien race, the Kzinti, into the Star Trek universe?
The Kzinti? I thought that was the first one. The old series.
Not really. Not exactly.
They were the lizard guys, right?
No, they were the cat people.
Cat people. That's why he said the cat people.
Well, listening
well,
was
in
not
Enterprise,
my...
they were the...
Okay.
In Enterprise, they turned into lizards.
You listeners can join in at any time
God.
Since there happens to be
Help
zero Star
us.
Trek geeks in this room.
Except you.
The animated series.
Oh.
The animated series.
Oh, really? That's you don't understand. You don't.
Tuvok served on what other ship captained by another Star Trek star?
Captain Sulu's ship.
Yeah. The...
Fion?
I have no idea.
Name the captain
okay.
of the original
okay.
series.
For someone who, put together the list, I mean, you know... You,
James
you, of course
T-shirt.
You know the answers. You put
well,
together the
I
list.
Put, yeah. I only put ones on here that I could have answered.
He's got the same look like Alex
really
Trebek in...
So
in,
yeah. say you now.
Okay, yeah. Here's a good one.
Snotty.
T'Pol's character was originally going to be named what?
T'Pau?
Spockina.
T'Pau.
T'Pau.
It was originally going to be...
Give a little heart and soul.
It was originally
going to
be that
grow.
Character, but the writer who wrote that original character would have had him been paid out
yeah.
every episode, so they decided to give it a...
They decided to go cheap.
Wait. They changed the character's
yeah,
name?
Yeah, it was supposed to be T'Pau, who is the Lord High Priestess. And they wanted to progress that character to where she goes and puts Spock's brain back in, you know, from McCoy's head in the movies.
Uh-huh.
And then they
she
just
was in the original series.
She was in the original series and then in the movies. And she's the priestess. And then they decided not to do that.
I see.
I think they should change her name before the end of it. Although I know what the last episode is now, and I'm really disappointed.
Well, no, they've already visited T'Pau.
Oh, really?
She was on an episode.
No, I'm really disappointed with the clothes. There was a mention about the clothes on with a spoiler, if anybody wants to know. It was very disappointing.
Where is Data's on-off switch?
In the back of his head.
Back of his head.
Actually, I think it's the back of his back.
No, it's back of his
head. Oh, okay. Well, there's one I would have gotten
wrong. Oh! Who's Mr. Smarty Pants now?
The father of Vulcan philosophy.
Sarek?
Yes. And the Vulcans' mating season that happens every 7 years?
Pomfar.
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 All right. Okay. I would say you guys failed.
Yeah, I got like a
Star Trek test.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a shame.
That just hurts. We just lost all of our street cred.
Yeah. Well, all of our.
Can we edit out this segment?
No. Geeks don't have street cred.
No, but our
geek all of our geek cred.
Well, our geeks are sitting in their various cars, going, "Come on, guys, come on,
losers, jeez,
figure it out."
We literally just lost about 50% of our audience.
Yeah, we're general. Wow. Well, Aaron's got all the Star Trek stuff.
Well, let's talk about the captains throughout the years.
All right.
We've got five seasons or a series now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have captains of each one. Let's talk about the merits of each captain.
Okay.
They've all brought, I think they did a good job on, whether you like the series or not, I think they did a good job of picking different types of captains.
Oh, hell yeah.
For each series. They never were the same thing over and over again. So yeah. Starting with Kirk, the original captain of Star Trek, what are his merits?
You don't understand. You don't understand. Chicken is my life. Breasts, wings, legs. It is.
You're right. Great act.
Oh!
Darted him. One of the things I loved about Kirk is that he really didn't seem like necessarily... He had his captain qualities, but they showed a lot of his kind of non-captain qualities.
I'm
he
all
was
about
an adventurer.
He was an adventurer. And unlike Picard, which was... He was captain.
He was much more military, yeah.
I warmed up to that type of character a lot.
I wouldn't say Picard was military.
I think he was totally also... Would.
Picard was diplomat corps. He was a diplomat.
Okay. I'll buy that.
Oh, big time.
I would
Picard
not
was
he
not
was
an
a
explorer. He just was straightened out.
Well, he liked any old ruins. Anything,
he was like
any...
a gentleman soldier.
Yeah, he was like one of those old British military ex-guys who goes out and, you know, raids a tomb every now and again.
Like 80% diplomat, 20% soldier, but what a 20% soldier.
Right.
Kirk was more of a scoundrel, kind of. I mean, you know, he would lie, you know, he would cheat, you know, he was, you know, very clever, you know.
Mm-hmm. But that was cool because the reason why the young guy as a captain worked is because you went, you know what? He probably scrapped his way into that position.
Yeah. Wasn't he the only one to ace the test of being a captain because he cheated?
Yeah. Well, that was the greatest thing about that is he wouldn't have maybe, you know, gotten through that aspect of becoming a captain without being the type of personality which was, hey, he'll throw sand in somebody's eyes in order to win the fight. He'll bite. He'll, you know, cheat. But, you know, he'll save the ship any way possible, you know. And that's the reason why he became the captain he was. You know, Picard wouldn't do that. And I warmed up to that character, I think, more than somebody like Picard.
Although I hated in the movie the fact that, you know, Kirk had to come back from, you know, wherever he came back from. What was that, First Contact? So that he could, you know, so that he could whoop a guy for... Picard.
That
was so stupid.
That was just lame.
It was so stupid.
Most of the movies are lame, so I try not to really think about
isn't it?
The movies.
No, even numbered
two is good.
One even
thing
numbered.
You have to point out with Kirk though, he had the best fight music of all of them.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, he did have the best.
Hell yeah.
Can you imagine Picard's fight music? I mean, I love Picard and everything. But...
Picard was not a pimp, sir.
And Kirk had the best defined relationship with those underneath him.
Well, that series...
literally.
That series in general did the best job of making you feel like the characters actually cared about each other. I never, ever felt that way on any of the other
series. Well, you weren't a Deep Space watcher. I felt that way about Deep Space.
Actually, I felt that way. I'll bring
different
this up later.
Different quality on Deep Space, though.
Yeah.
Well, like, you got old friendship from Star Trek 1, right? With Deep Space Nine, it was more like, you know, okay, we're friends now. Like, I'm getting to know you. I'm learning about you.
Well, I always felt like the character relationship between Dax and the captain was old friends. And by the end of the series, the relationship between the captain and Major Kira was really strong.
I felt that relationship was forced often.
Really?
The Dax-captain relationship there.
Okay.
Was Kirk the only one to kind of make whoopee with the hot alien ladies?
Oh, hell no. No.
Picard got some.
Oh, please.
I mean, it was infinitesimal compared to Kirk. I mean,
Kirk was hooking up every episode.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's face it. Kirk should have been dead of 17 different cosmic, you know, venereal diseases.
He has shielding. Condoms becomes shielding.
Are you ready, baby? Shields up.
What's the Eddie Murphy line?
She's at 30%, Captain.
She can't take much more, Captain.
Didn't you tell me about something about Scotty? Like, he shows up and you always tell... He was like, always estimate more time.
Did you tell me about that?
Yeah,
he told... I think it was in one of the Next Generation episodes where he showed up and he said, hey, overestimate your time to your captain so that when you actually get it done lower than that, you seem like a genius.
Yeah,
I think he told LaForge or something like that. Don't tell him the truth. Always make it sound like it's going to take a lot longer, and then you'll end up sounding like a genius.
There's something like that, and I think the third movie as well, you know, where he referenced, not quite said as, you know, well, but he does reference that a little bit.
Don't call me Shorty.
Well, let's move on to
Kirk.
Card then.
Kirk says, Scotty, do you always, you know, inflate your estimates? You know, right. He kind of
hinted that that's what he does. Well, let's move on to Next Generation. I mean, it took 20 years.
Before it came back out.
Before it came back. And we have a new captain who, at first, I think people were shocked.
What?
At the new captain.
That he was bald?
Well, he's a bald older guy. I mean, Star Trek had always been Mr. Suave, banging around with every alien.
He looked more like the captain of the Love Boat than the captain of the Enterprise.
Exactly. And I think I think it shocked people at first, but...
They had Will Riker there to fill that, you know, smooth...
Doofus.
Well, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard the rumor for a long time that they were planning on killing Picard at the end of season one, and Riker steps up and has to fill in the shoes of this great old
captain. Really?
That would have been absolutely disastrous.
From season one, everybody loved Picard.
Yeah, because he rocked it out. Huh?
Yeah.
He was so great.
Man. Well, first of all, he's a great actor.
He was
besides
smooth,
just character, you know, merits. He's a great actor, and he pulled off a lot of poor writing that happened in that
definitely.
Show.
Oh hell yeah! Him and Brent Spiner did like ridiculous job. I think they're two of the best actors that we've had in Star Trek. Period. Leonard Nimoy.
What's the name of the guy who plays Worf?
Dorn.
Michael Dorn.
Michael Dorn.
Mm-hmm.
Really underestimated. I think he's really underestimated.
Yeah,
he did a really good job with some really weak stuff for a long
time. True.
You know.
So what are some of the merits of the new Captain Picard?
He copious knowledge, knew his way through every situation.
An actual sense of intelligence.
Oh, yeah. This guy
wisdom.
Is bright.
He really, to me, after watching, you know, several episodes of that show, I remember thinking, okay, this is probably more accurate, like, of what a captain is. Like, when I look back at Kirk, I'm like, that doesn't
probably
seem as
wouldn't be going down to the planet every single time.
Probably not the best to send him into every single battle away team ever.
Yeah.
Right, and they treated him more like a captain.
Yeah.
Like, Archer is a little pansy. I mean, they treat... If anyone treated a captain like they treat Archer, most of the time you would get put in the brig.
Yeah.
But Picard would... I mean, people... And that was good writing. You know, they made the other characters act as if they can't warm up.
Well, they were always acting up to him. And then, what was the part of the close was that he came in and he played poker with them for the first time.
Right.
And that was what was such a great close about that was that it was like he's finally making this gesture, this overture.
But it was a small one. Like, he is still the captain.
Yeah.
And after 6-7 years of the show, he's going to show up and play poker
once.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's cool. But that is part of the reason why I had a hard time warming up to all those characters is because they have that distance between each other that is probably more accurate. But as a television show, I just couldn't, like, you know.
Wesley Crusher there just killing every scene.
Well,
leaving a trail of bad acting wherever he goes.
So
you're saying you didn't like the second?
No, I do.
Oh.
But
still not like the first one for you.
But the first one to me as far as, like...
Did you see the first one first?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
see, I saw the cartoon series, then I saw Next Gen, and then I went back on Nick at Night or wherever it was and saw the old Star Trek.
Oh, no, I grew
so
up
what do
on
you
original.
Like
Next Gen. Actually, now Deep Space. Deep Space Nine, I think.
I'm with Matt. I'm a Deep Space Nine guy.
Yeah.
Well, then let's move to Cisco. Actually, you know, this took place in one of the worst time of my life to actually watch television. This was my college years, and I did not watch Deep Space Nine very so
I did the same thing. I watched all the Deep Space Nines last year.
And it's great.
Interesting.
And well, it's really great.
I've watched a lot of them. Trust me, I've actually watched a lot of Deep Space Nines.
Did you see the end of order. Did you see the end of the series?
No. Well, okay. I saw the last episode and went, huh?
Yeah, I hated the last episode.
Yeah, it was pretty stupid.
Now here's where I'm a little out on this. Deep Space Nine is the
Space Station.
Space Station.
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard that the guy who wrote that is a genius because he came in knowing he wanted to write, you know, the entire show.
That's Babylon 5.
Is that Babylon 5?
Babylon
I got it mixed up then. Okay.
Yeah. Right. No, some of the writers from Deep Space Nine is actually writing for Battlestar Galactica right now.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah. Definitely.
There you go.
They understood. They came in and they tried to do the Star Trek sort of each mission stands alone thing, and that lasted for one season, and it, I think, alienated a lot of the viewers because when you're not traveling to new planets, new civilizations, it's kind of dumb.
Right.
It's just character introduction after character introduction after character introduction. But by the third season, actually, the introduction of Worf onto the show, it was fantastic. It was really fantastic. And I loved Avery Brooks as a captain because he was constantly – he was haunted more than all of the other captains. That's mm-hmm. why I really liked him. He was haunted by the death of his wife, by trying to be a good father, by being told that he was a prophet to you know, the people on Bajoran, by being a human and then being a prophet. He was always had these – issues like he could never just do his job.
See, I liked the series for the reason why I think a lot of Star Trek fans dislike the series, which was it's much more serial.
Yeah, by the end of it,
As soon as Roddenberry died,
right?
Like, the series became a continual story,
mm-hmm.
and that drew me in because I felt like they were telling an epic tale.
Oh yeah, totally. By the end of it, I love that.
So did you feel that Sisko was a decent captain, or was he just like, I mean, I didn't really get to know much about him.
I thought Sisko was sort of like a duck out of water through a lot of the series because he was not a diplomat, and he was playing a very diplomatic part.
Right.
And you didn't really watch him struggle with that, you know? And then they just kind of threw in this plot point that made the people he was supposed to be being the diplomatic liaison with have to kiss his ass.
Right.
So he didn't really have to work for any of the things he had to achieve.
Except for that one woman who was the high priestess.
One person on the planet who thought he was scum.
Yeah.
You know? There's no challenge there. So I didn't see him fight anything.
Right.
The other problem I had with Sisko, while I thought the guy was a really strong actor who did a really good job when he had good writing, on episodes when he had bad writing, he didn't know what to do.
I
just
crying.
Watched him flail around looking for something to do with the crap he had to say.
There's a really great episode where he gets hit with a beam and he travels forward and forward and forward into his son's life. As his son becomes an incredible scientist.
That was good.
And he keeps on trying to save his dad further and further along as the episode goes. And then at the end of it, he ducks just in time to do it. And I was like, that's freaking genius.
I think that was the one Star Trek series. Like, I didn't watch Voyager. But that's the Star Trek series for me also where they stepped back from the captain and made it about everybody else.
Made about everyone.
Interesting.
He was not the hero of that series.
No.
In a lot of
it was a real ensemble on that. Yeah. You know,
I mean, some people would argue that it was the Quark show, you know.
By the end of it, Armin Shimerman did his job.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You know, it was hilarious.
But I mean, it seemed a little strange that so much focus should shift away from the Federation entirely.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I love that.
One of the things that I liked about, I'm actually a fan of Voyager.
Ugh. Okay.
The reason is this is one of the first times in Star Trek in a long time where they actually explored strange new worlds. It wasn't just shuttling diplomats back and forth and back and forth, which 95% of Next Gen and almost all of Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, Next Gen, they were the flagship, and so they were like sort of taking care of the Federation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The Voyager's episodes all were out in the middle of nowhere, and they had every episode was them finding a new planet. And I finally was like, oh man, this reminds me of the original series. And actually, Janeway to me is the closest to Kirk, and out of all the captains,
I gotta tell you,
they both like women.
I only saw a couple of the episodes with Janeway, and I didn't warm up to her as a captain. She just didn't do anything for me.
Well,
I liked her in Remo Williams, and that was the last time I liked Kate Mulgrew.
I loved her in that movie.
I thought she did a pretty good job. Besides the fact that I always sounded like she needed to clear her throat, like she had milk
exactly.
back there.
Captain Ricola.
We need to. hang on.
That was one issue I had, but she had very captain qualities, mm-hmm. but she was also you kind of saw her break out of that a lot, like Kirk did. She was also one of those shoot first, ask questions later type captains, which I thought was more fun.
The only thing I can see is that she had singularly the least charismatic cast of any of the cast that I've seen.
Really? That's Chakotay true. Beat the snot out of number one as far as
well, Chakotay's fine.
Yeah, your average small wet sponge beat the snot out of number one as far as Christmas concerned.
But then, like, who was it? Paris? Was a non-entity.
The Asian guy.
The Asian guy
was a non-entity.
Tuvok, great actor, did too good a job.
Yeah, he was too Vulcan.
He was so Vulcan, he was boring.
Right.
It's really interesting for me to listen to this, because the things that you're saying are the things you loved about Voyager, mm-hmm. are the
Hated
things that
it.
Just turned me off about it.
Yeah.
Like, you have the Star Trek universe.
Mm-hmm.
You have certain established races that add flavor to the world you're existing in.
Right.
And then in Voyager, you completely leave that.
No, so we didn't. That we had Vulcans.
We had one Vulcan character.
We had Vulcans. We had Borg.
One Klingon character.
Okay, we had Klingon. We had Borg. I mean, how many episodes for 35 years?
And the entire cultural storylines
mm-hmm.
set up by Deep Space Nine, all of that, the politics, all of like the world, the dynamics, the politics, thrown out the window. No, we're just going to go off into
Deep
a boat.
Deep Space Nine, for 3 years, we had to deal with the politics of Bajorans. Hello, have I ever heard of Bajorans
before? No, you didn't. The politics of the Bajorans was a rather small part of it.
Yeah, it was
tiny. Politics of Earth.
It was politics of Earth.
Well,
Klingon Empire for a ton of the seasons.
Yeah,
but that was the last, like, 2 years.
Yeah,
there's going to
be
a fight here.
The thing was
on a huge context.
Was 7 years.
And that set up and changed a universe you were existing in.
Yeah.
And then Voyager just leaves it all behind.
That was
as though none of it matters.
That was a great, great move on their part. In fact, if they do another series, they need to think of how to change it up. If we see another Next Generation, it's going to get canceled again. That's what the problem with Enterprise.
Really want to see another Next Generation.
I have a way to settle this. The two of you sumo wrestle over it.
Yes.
He already broke my knee. Aaron, don't do it, man. You'll lose.
All right. Well, let's move on then to Archer. Does anybody have anything to
say about Archer? I love Scott Bakula. I watched Quantum Leap religiously, mm-hmm. and I think he is an absolute loss on this show. He is.
He's
they
not
don't
very
use.
Captain-ly.
They don't use his acting talents. They don't give him anything to say. I mean, he is.
Well, that's a writing thing. But as a character,
he did
manage to keep the show relatively simple by maintaining the same vaguely pissed off facial expression for all four seasons.
Yeah.
Four seasons?
Yeah, it's four and a half years now.
Someone who wrote into our forum is going to kill me for saying this, but I didn't like him in Quantum. I didn't like Quantum Leap.
Like Quantum Leap?
How could you not like Quantum Leap?
How many
episodes did you really see?
Not that many.
So, you know,
I've seen maybe 7 or 8. I'm in the same boat as you. I thought it was okay.
It was on for how many years? Yeah, like 7 years, 8 years?
I was like, you know,
I actually liked
right.
Scott Bakula, but I thought his sidekick was more interesting.
Dean.
The writing in that show was really
incredible.
Good.
Yep.
Was it?
Every episode
it was really
I saw
good.
Was well written. But
well, Archer, you know, I guess one of the things I like about Archer is that this is the first time that actually emotion, like he gets angry, and one of the problems with Star Trek after the original series, and I've actually heard this from an actor interviewed, mm-hmm. is their direction given to them as actors is don't show emotion because we want the aliens to look different than humans, all the aliens have emotion and humans don't.
That's lame.
Whoever thought
Archer
of that?
Only showed one emotion.
Whoever at Paramount, if you're listening, because I know you are listening to GeeksOn.com, that was the worst effing direction I have ever heard anybody give to an actor ever.
Yeah,
you should be fired. And if I hear that it comes from any of those damn producers, whatever the Rick Berman or Braga or whatever it is,
Brandon Braga,
you should be ashamed. Mm. That is the worst direction ever. Now, I have to say that at least in this series, even though I'm not a big fan of it, this is the first time I actually seen them get angry and pissed off in a while.
Yeah, true.
That's all they do.
You know what this reminds me of is...
Well, that is a problem.
Yeah, it's petulant now.
They're whiny.
This reminds me of the Hulk. You guys see the movie
Oh,
the Hulk?
God.
Yeah.
Because I swear to God, what I think so... I think the director told the actor that he was supposed to be emotionally disconnected
mm-hmm.
and that he was not supposed to ever connect with Jennifer Connelly. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought I thought it was the series.
No. This reminds me...
He was a great actor. What are you talking about?
This reminds me of the movie. And the thing is that you can't do that. You can't tell people not to have emotion. You can tell people to fight against the emotion.
Yeah.
So that it's there, but you're struggling with it. But you can't tell people to not have it. That's why that movie was the whole movie.
Oh, that movie had problems on so many levels.
Yeah.
As far as captains go, though.
I heard her talking about... being in a scene with
Jennifer Connelly?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Eric Bana.
Yeah, where she literally was like crying and trying to grab his face and make him look at her, and he would never look her in the face. She couldn't get him to do it.
I'd look her in the face.
Yeah.
I'd look her in the face. Okay, back to your captain.
12 or not.
As far as the captains goes, though, I mean, it's funny because all the captains have always had this veneer of civility,
mm-hmm.
right?
Except for Picard, Kirk, that was not a veneer,
right? Well, even with Kirk, there was a certain degree where you could understand him as being a military diplomat.
Right.
Absolutely.
You could get it. Archer, no.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't trust him to make first contact with anything.
No, he's like
agree.
He's like a scientist with, like, gone wrong. Like,
yeah, the guy is more aggressive than a rabid crack whore. He's crazy.
But the funny thing is...
I hate those rabid crack whores.
Almost write that into the scripts. The fact that the characters talk back to them or ask questions of why he gives orders is so absurd, and yet it's written into the show.
It's almost like they're writing
into the fact that he's not a good captain, which would be kind of a cool idea.
That's a great idea.
But it doesn't feel like that it's intentional in a way.
What would be a great idea would be to do what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
where there's someone who's a political appointee, like his dad's a captain, you know, and he thinks he's going to have a nice, easy time of it, and then finds himself, you know, that whole idea where you're lost and you can't get back.
Great. George Bush, the Enterprise years.
Yes. Ooh. You know, running it and having to learn how to be...
Condoleezza Rice is the communications officer.
Yeah.
They're hailing us, Captain. I suggest we shoot them now.
Oh. Geek Sancho's the liberal side.
Preemptive striking.
Damn it.
All right. Well, I think we've gone through the captains, and I think we did a pretty good analysis of them. And
okay, well, actually, I got a question.
Okay.
So what would be the best next captain if they were going to do it?
Well, let's
definitely Asian.
Let's get
I'm
that.
Thinking.
At the end here, I want to talk about how if we were going to make a series,
okay.
what we would...
Let's come back.
Okay, we'll get that.
Okay.
Let's hear from Peter and his reading for Star Trek.
I slaved over this, and it's really... I think it's really quality.
From the heart, Peter. From the heart.
This is an ode to Star Trek. Oh, Captain, my Captain, your time has now come. Your final space voyage now has begun. There'll be no more Worf, no Data, no Q, no sexy Femalians in pink, green, and blue. No trouble with Tribbles, no phasers to stun. It's all winding down, though it's been a great run. The final frontier now has been crossed. Your contracts in the garbage all have been tossed. So your stories live on in syndicated reruns because the effing studio ended the fun. That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peter.
Brilliant.
That was beautiful.
Brilliant. Yes, thank you. Beautiful.
Well, now that Star Trek is gone, we're not going to have any episodes, but we do have all of our toys, games, video games that we've bought throughout the years. All
right, y'all. I brought something in.
Oh, no.
We're going to talk about...
Show and tell.
The so toys afraid. And products of Star Trek that we love and have bought throughout the years.
And Oddly enough, what Matt brought in is an anatomically correct life-size model of Captain Kirk.
I got this given to me as a birthday present yesterday.
Yesterday? You got a Star Trek...
I got a Star Trek, completely out of the blue, got this as a birthday present from a makeup guy that I know on a set.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shoot.
I got a first contact phaser limited edition from Master Replicas.
Nice.
And like,
does it make sounds?
Oh, you can set the charge.
You can set it all the way up.
Very cool.
Right, there we go.
And then if you set it too far,
self-destruct.
Exactly.
Here. Very cool. Very cool. Wow. It looks like my shaver.
Exactly. Well, it's the first contact phaser. I had to bring it in because we were talking about it. And actually, if you fire that at somebody, like the beam of light on the end, it's like pretty crazy bright. So,
I actually have the one of the old phasers in the communicator.
Oh, really?
It looks really good.
yeah.
Okay, done. Well, throughout the years, I have bought lots
of... They can take my phaser when they pry from my cold, dead hands.
I've bought plenty of Star Trek stuff. I'm a big Star Trek...
geek. Oh,
this thing's heavy.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's got some weight to this. This is...
I'm not a novel fan. I don't read the novels because they're unbearable.
What'd you do to it? You already messed it up.
I did nothing to
it. What you did to this?
I did nothing.
He's got this fancy new thing. He's already got like...
It's got a little piece of foam on it.
Oh.
Matt is, in fact, a rust monster.
Well, very cool.
Yeah, it rocks.
I can't stand reading the books because most of the books are very hard. They're just
You can't
bad,
stand reading, right?
I can't stand reading. But I do like all of the technical manuals and blueprints. I'm a big blueprint.
I can't stand.
We have seen your Starfleet Battles collection.
I even have the old original blueprint. This is like $250.
I think you should put it all in a time capsule and take it out when you're 50 and then just sell it.
I do. It's called my closet.
Oh.
I mean, you know, I don't sit there and look at them. I just buy them and then put them in my closet.
I'll be shooting Aaron now.
But another thing that I really, really love.
No, just keep out. We'll, you know, whenever someone says something stupid, we'll shoot them.
Okay. That's right. The other thing I really love is the game, which I know I've gotten you guys to play, is Starfleet Battles.
Yay!
Starfleet Battles is a strategy game. I'll put a link on our site, but it's got so many rules. It's a big rule game. It's for severe strategy gamers.
What muscles Aaron has, he has from hauling around those freaking rule books.
Right.
You know? So wait a minute. So
have you seen the rule book, Pierre?
So Shadowrun has too many rules.
No, you know? I never commented
too
about...
Too complicated
no, no, no,
to figure
none of us,
out.
None
but
of
this
us.
Thing, with the its, only, like, you know,
we've actually,
encyclopedia of rules...
Oh, it's incredible. No. Yeah. But yeah. We've actually been able to play a game in under an hour.
I've taught the game. It's not
barely.
It looks complicated. It is complicated. But
honestly, I wouldn't know how to sit down and play it. I just kind of assume that Aaron will be able to tell me what I need to do.
Yeah, it's all about math. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing's about math.
Basically, you have the choice. Go out and get a master's of physics or learn how to play this game.
Yeah.
You
know? I would suggest this to anybody who really wants to play a super strategy game in the Star Trek universe. It really is amazing. It's like those old naval war games mm-hmm. translated into the Star Trek universe.
The only thing that bugged me about it was that it was in 2D, and there's no way to avoid that. But you know how it is.
I was thinking they should make a 3D. Remember I was talking to you about like getting a good 3D one where you can tell when you're above people, below people, stuff like that?
Like do that 3D
and you think
thing?
It's complicated?
Yeah.
You think it's complicated now?
Whatever.
I mean, to have to add another dimension, it would be absurd. But they did make a video game of this. They did make a video game. Starfleet Command.
Oh, yeah. I played that, and it was like...
It's hard.
So hard to play.
It is hard.
I barely got out of the training module, and I was like... They were like, Cadet, you've crashed into everything.
Yeah, it's a good game, but it's another strategy game where you have to keep track of all the power of your ship, distribute it throughout the ship, your shields, and all that. Anyway, I'll put a link to it if anybody wants to check it out. It really is an amazing game by calculator. All right, put the goddamn thing
please
down.
Put it down. Yeah, we're done with that
I
now.
Changed my mind.
We apologize to all our geek listening audience.
Anybody else have any Trek?
Only thing I'd want to briefly touch on is just the DVDs. The DVDs of The Next Generation were literally the first TV show DVDs I ever saw.
Oh, really?
It kind of introduced me to the idea of TV on DVD.
Hmm.
And that's been pretty cool because my Netflix list is pretty much 50-50. TV shows I never saw and movies I'm waiting to see.
That's interesting. I used to rent them from the library and
really?
Watch the old episodes.
Well, I need to get Deep Space Nine and start with
yeah,
from the beginning.
It's cool.
Well, the other thing that I thought was amazing, and I really was pissed when they lost their licenses, Faza, the old game manufacturer. Actually, they do video games now.
Yeah.
But they did a Star Trek role-playing game, which was fantastic. The actual rules...
Wait. I thought you said it was bad. The old one?
No. The rule set was not great.
Okay.
But the material they came out for it was amazing. Really great. They had, you know...
They got in-depth in there.
Very in-depth. In fact, it was really well-designed. It got to the point where I almost consider it Star Trek canon. I mean, it really was extremely detailed. They stuck with the
original episodes
very, very well. And they did a lot of the movie stuff because they were coming out with the role-playing game while the original movies were coming out.
Right.
And so they even tried to explain why Klingons changed appearances.
Oh, God, that's right.
Like, they tried to work that out in the rule game system before...
What was their explanation?
Well, and their explanation was that there were different types of Klingons. There were full-on Klingons and crossbred between human, Vulcan, and whatever other race that they decide to... bang around.
Oh, so the ones who were originally seen were the crossbred ones.
And what they did was they were very clicky, and their ships would have all fullbreds or all half and half. Or so the reason why you would come up to a ship and they would all look like humans is because they didn't mix races on their ships. They were considered like lower class. It was interesting. They were really trying to figure out a way to work around the writing.
It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I don't think that would be an invalid.
But you can still see some of that stuff floating around eBay, the Star Trek stuff, and it's pretty good. So anyway, check that out.
Excellent.
Cool. Well, Matt, would you like to do a reading for us?
I have a reading of a haiku for each of the shows and movies, kind of. Spock falls to the floor. Kirk screams to an empty room. Live long and prosper.
Nice.
Next gen. Tortured all alone, Picard says there are 5 lights. We must disengage. Next. Deep space. Kira hugs Odo. Watches the pulsing life pool. Love still lasts in space. Right. Voyager. I never liked this. Everyone but me got it. Why? It hurts.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
That was very nice,
man. And wait. And Enterprise. The current Enterprise. T'Pol holds me close. Greases me up with blue juice. Oh, contamination.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm moved.
Let's just remember back to some of our favorite moments of Star Trek.
There are 5 lights!
That was a great moment of Star Trek, by the way. That was a great, great episode. What was that called? Do you remember?
Next Gen, I don't know, Picard's being tortured. I don't remember.
It was a 2-parter episode. Well, I'll start out from the obvious one. Pretty much all of Wrath of Khan. I mean, that was the movie of Star Trek. They probably should have stopped there.
I didn't realize Ricardo Montalban had a big fake chest on.
I know, and he doesn't.
It was fake?
Yeah, his
it's
big,
not fake.
Big ass,
that's
like,
real.
Muscle chest. No, somebody in makeup told me that he had a big fake chest.
It's totally real. I read a debunking site that was actually really his chest.
Oh, really? Ricardo Montalban was just that cut.
Yep. But, dude, and
that's why he's Ricardo Montalban.
Hell yeah.
Spock's death scene was done very, very well. I mean, for a potentially cheesy scene and potential line.
I didn't see it coming.
Really done well. The whole space battle in the
nebula.
Wasn't
that because Leonard Nimoy wanted off the show?
I'm not absolutely sure, but it was a great... I mean, it was really well done.
He had his musical career to consider.
Yeah, exactly. The battle in the nebula was the first time I felt like the ships were big, huge naval ships, really, for the first time in Star Trek. I mean, I really felt that these were lumbering, big-ass metal ships.
That was the first time I actually got a sense that they actually moved on a Z-axis.
Right, exactly. And they, yeah, exactly. So anyway, I'm throwing that out as the first. I mean, the whole movie was a great moment.
One moment I loved, it was actually the beginning of the very first movie,
mm-hmm.
when the Klingons are trying to make war with the big cloud.
Right.
And that's the first time I remember seeing that kind of electric photon torpedo ball
right.
they fired. And my God, that just rocked my world when I saw that. I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
It was like a giant lens flare yeah. flying at the camera.
Especially with the music. Like okay. that had good music in that opening movie.
I yeah. loved six. Whatever one, was, Kirk versus the giant head. Then
five.
No, the one
oh,
after.
Yeah, after.
The one where they're...
Discovered Country.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you...
That was the same director from 2.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a good movie. I remember
what
watching...
That, one?
That was the one where they're trying... The Klingons are...
Ice planet.
Yeah, they go to an ice planet. There's a Klingon with a one of the ambassadors, when they're trying to actually get the Klingons together, gets assassinated, and Kirk has to figure it out because they blame it on him.
Oh, he, like...
Christopher Plummer. Yeah, Amon.
Yeah, Christopher Plummer with the eye patch bolted to his head. He's
yeah,
always
yeah.
quoting Shakespeare. And
that was good.
You know. Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
That was a good one.
I liked First Contact.
I like the whales one, actually, a lot.
Well, First Contact was basically Night of the Living Dead in space. And I like zombies, so
it
that was fun.
So it was so poorly directed, it was just sad. But anyway. City on the Edge of Forever, one of the original ones, Joan Collins, where...
Oh, that was good.
Damn.
What is up with you two?
Sorry.
The one with Joan Collins where they go back in time and Kirk falls in love with Joan Collins but knows that she has to die in order to get the timeline back on track. Great freaking episode. I mean, that was just very good writing. Loved it.
I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember that?
Not in the slightest.
Oh, that's great, great episode.
I like the Frank Gorshin one where it's like... White face, black face.
That was a great episode, actually, because of how absurd it was.
Yeah. He has white on the right side of his face.
I am black. I love the one where Kirk splits
right,
into good and bad.
Oh, yeah.
And they talk about, like, where strength or where courage comes from.
Right.
Like, the tough, evil guy at the end really wasn't the guy with the courage. It was the good, soft Kirk that actually had the courage at the end.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting decision for writers to make.
I remember talking to a girl who I was breaking up with, and she didn't... And I was trying to explain this, and I was like, it's like Star Trek. And Kirk, when he breaks into a good Kirk and a bad Kirk, and she just got this look on her face at me like...
She knew it was over.
All right, I'm leaving.
She wasn't about to fight it. I gotta say, every single time they brought into the evil episodes, the evil universe episodes,
yeah, Mirror.
I enjoyed that. Except the one thing I have to point out, in the Enterprise version, when they just did that recently, there was no difference between good Archer and evil Archer.
Right,
they
exactly.
were exactly the same.
Which would have been also a good choice if that was part of the thing,
but no.
part of the writing.
Right,
like that would have been cool. That would have been cool if. In the evil universe, Archer was exactly the same. That actually would have been a good writing point, but mm-hmm. of course they blew that. Best of Both Worlds, Part 1 and 2, where Kirk becomes the Borg.
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
Episode.
Picard becomes Borg?
I mean, sorry. Picard becomes the Borg.
Oh, yeah.
I am Locutus.
Better than all the Next Generation movies, that Part 1 and Part 2 felt like a movie to me. They could have thrown that on the big screen. It would have worked great.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Anybody else have any good moments of Star Trek?
No.
I've got plenty.
I know, stop.
I think I might be one of the few people on the face of the earth who liked Guinan. I liked Guinan a lot.
You like Guinan?
I thought she was cool.
I just thought she sounded like a feminine disorder.
Moving on.
When you got
I'm
Guinan...
I'm going to bring up an episode of Voyager as being one of my favorite episodes of Star Trek. There's one called Death Wish, where a Q shows up. Who's not like the normal Q, and he's been imprisoned because he's a Q philosopher.
Oh,
and
right.
He was
right.
preaching that he wanted to die.
Was that where they go to Q in order for
right.
Picard to understand? They broke down what Q
Janeway.
Is.
Janeway.
Oh, really? What,
Janeway.
And they break down what it was in sort of
in
like.
The, in classic Star Trek-ish ways, they visit the Q continuum, and in order to make it so that humans can understand it, they translate it into some.
Like, there's
image.
One guy reading the same page of a book over and over and over.
So again. It's this, like, crappy old gas station in the middle of nowhere where everyone's bored to death because they've lived forever and they've read everything, they've done everything. There's nothing to do. They're just mindless beings who are just kind of brain dead.
Yeah.
And this philosopher says, I'm trying to teach that maybe death is the way to go here, and now I've been imprisoned for preaching something, you know, things that are anti-Q.
Anti-Q.
And it was a great episode because he was this famous writer who's been imprisoned in this comet, and they break him out.
That's also why the original Mischief Q was...
That's why
they liked him.
Yeah, and in fact, the philosopher said, you know what? I used to love the way you used to go and cause problems because you were doing something different. The other Q were actually entertained for once in millennium because they were trying to keep you in check. You were the best thing that ever happened to us by causing problems. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to mix it up. I want to die. And you guys won't let me.
Yep.
Great episode. And it was one of the first times where the explaining what living forever could be a drag was.
Yep.
Was really laid out. It was a great episode. Trials and Tribulations, when Deep Space Nine goes back in time to the Tribbles. That was a great episode.
That was incredible. Also, when they re-edited it and put everybody on the green screen. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, that was very fun. And the last one I have is the one where they, and I bring this up, it's actually two episodes. The one where Kirk and Uhura kiss. It was the first interracial kiss. I thought that was, you know, looking back at it, it's quite, you know,
it's blasé, but yeah, I mean...
But to have them do that,
oh, yeah, I think back was then, amazing. It was incredible.
And even the Deep Space Nine episode where they had the two women kiss was, you know, there was a lot of states in the United States that decided
wouldn't
not to air
it.
That episode. And I think, you know...
I'm kind of waiting for a straight-up gay character.
Well, Gene Roddenberry promised one.
Yeah.
And never delivered.
Nope.
And actually, that character, the one where they in the Deep Space Nine, was originally written as a man. So it was going to be two men kissing in that episode. And at the last minute, they decide, you know what?
We can do it.
We want to push the edge, but we may not be able to go that far.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually pulled back, which I wish they had gone all the way if they were going to do it, but... It is a business, and, you know...
I gotta say, though, it was an amazing kiss.
Yeah,
it was an amazing 15,
20 seconds long.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
So, anyway, those are some of my moments of Star Trek.
Excellent, man.
Looking nice. Back. So, finally, the last thing I would like... If we were going to make our own next series of Star Trek, what would you do? What would be your next series?
Asian Captain.
Is that just so you could be in it?
Sulu's grandson. Maybe. Man, I'm not saying anything.
I would do a really big war breaks out.
Didn't they do that in
do you want war,
Deep Space Nine? Deep Space Nine is kind of the really big war one.
It is?
Yeah, big time.
It was more fun, though. Like, war is always a more interesting backdrop, you know?
Yeah, I would do a really big war that's really awful, and the humans are getting effed up.
I would like to see a civil war. Within the Federation.
Really?
As people try and break away to establish their own interests.
And so the series would be based on the Civil War?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, I think it could be very interesting because ever through the entire series, certain races have always been our friends. The Vulcans have always been our friends. The Andorians have always been our friends. What happens when those people that we trust the most start pulling away from us?
I think I'd like to do it on a colony ship. You know,
like
and
they're trying to set their first.
No, it's a colony ship that basically is going from X planet to X planet and X planet to X planet, but it's always ferrying people, colonists, to these new worlds
to set up shop.
To set up shop and who they offend, how they offend, because they always show up to the planet right after crap has happened to the colonists.
Right.
And I always want to be like, why don't we show the story of what happens originally to the colonists?
That's a good idea.
And then you could have also along the way, there's different policies and procedures, and because colonists are always like, we want religious freedom, let's go here. So you also have the politics of like, stop trying to take over my ship. This is my ship. We're just ferrying you to this location. So.
Interesting. I would actually like to see a show taking place on another alien race's ship. Like Klingons or Romulans or a Vulcan ship, and just see the other side of the whole thing.
I think we've done Klingons. I'd like to see Romulans.
I think we've done Klingons, too. I think you're right.
Romulans could be interesting. Or just a flat up, you know, because the Romulans have always been that hidden threat.
Yeah, they're like... They're snotty enemy. They always bother me because they're like, this enemy is really snotty.
Well, they could clear that up.
Yeah.
I mean, the Klingons used to be just bad guys for no reason.
Well, they were the Russians.
Well, I think the Romulans could use some of the fleshing out the Klingons.
Seriously.
I think you're right.
Stubble core.
Especially with the most ridiculous recent movie where they've got a sister race of bat people.
What?
I missed that.
Seriously? Wow.
Yeah, in Nemesis.
Oh, in Nemesis. We should just throw that out.
Ridiculous.
Does anybody have any Trek links at all?
I do. I have a link to Strange New World, No Star Trek. It's a LA Times opinion article written by Orson Scott Card.
Ah, I have the same thing.
Who is not lamenting the leaving of Star Trek.
No. Except it was called It's Dead, Jim, when I read it.
Strange New World, No Star Trek.
Ah, okay. Well, I'll leave you to do that because that was pretty cool. Yeah, I also had one that was just related to Star Trek, which is how to build a robot head.
Interesting.
You can go and build a robot head like Data.
Nice.
I have Memory Alpha and Star Trek Nexus, which are two kind of like databases for Star Trek where you can look up episodes, you can look up the tech, you can look up worlds, aliens, all that stuff, and they're pretty detailed. And
it's pretty slick.
Pretty cool. They've got pictures and all that. And I'm also going to put the link to Starfleet Battles in case anybody wants to look up that game as well.
Okay, I also have a link to the producers defending the end of Enterprise because basically the cast members have booed the final episode.
Wow.
And exactly. they say it sucks. I do the spoiler on what happens, but I don't want to.
Yeah, I read it.
I don't want to take off our listeners.
Well,
perhaps you'd be willing to send us off, Aaron.
I will. Send us off. We are assembled here today to pay final respects to our honored dead. And yet, it should be noted that in the midst of our sorrow, this death takes place in the shadow of a new life.
Oh God.
The sunrise of a new world. A world where science fiction thrives in television and film. Battlestar, Farscape, Matrix, Babylon 5, Firefly, Star Wars. It advanced the genre and even television itself at the risk of its own demise. Star Trek did not see this sacrifice as vain or empty, and we shall not debate its profound wisdom at these proceedings.
Don't go.
I grew up with Kirk, Spock, Bones, Picard, Worf, Janeway, Sisko, Archer, and T'Pol.
I love you, Bones.
Of all my friends, I can say only this. Of all the shows that I have encountered in television and film, Star Trek was the most human. Goodbye, Star Trek. This is our final goodbye. Even my dog says goodbye.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper, everybody.
To you too, my geeklings.
And
live long and prosper. Have a most excellent geek week.
Enjoy the next episodes.
Rocket.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.